welcome to the Velvet Studio, home of Ottawa's Queen Media. And how is everybody doing today?
All right.
Very well.
Excellent. Sorry about that. I just had to fix the thing briefly.
I think the answer is underwhelming. Everyone's sort of like, I am acceptable.
I am so-so today. I am rather neither here nor there, really.
It's I am sufficiently adequate.
Yes, I'm represented by the weather. Very slushy, wet.
Blah. Yeah. I think it's how I describe this weather.
Actually, yeah. Sometimes when people ask me, how are you, my answer actually is sufficiently adequate. And they're like, oh, what's wrong? And I'm like, nothing. I'm sufficiently adequate.
It's all right. Nothing good, nothing bad.
Yeah, exactly.
So, Angus, do you want to introduce today's show?
For sure. So today we're talking about body image and how it's reflected in the queer community.
Well, I mean, we can't really talk about the queer community as a whole because we are three cisgendered gay white men.
Yeah,
so, I mean, we're talking to our own experiences.
But being three cisgendered white men, we can assume that we know everything. And, and there's nobody here right now to tell us we're wrong. Oh. So, for sure. No,
you,
I get that.
Are you suggesting that we're just going to carte blanche exercise all privilege? Is that...
well, that's our instinct, I think. So maybe, you know, maybe we can put our heads together. And,
oh, we've just broken the pattern.
Yeah, we can put our heads together. Yeah, so I guess in general, we'd be speculating on other areas, but hopefully over the hour we'll share our own experiences and get the conversation started anyways.
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of this topic is stuff that people within the gay community are very familiar with, but people, some of our listeners who are not frequenters of the gay community, some of this might be surprising to them. So, I mean, hopefully you will learn something today about the gay male experience. Hello.
Hey. And we're joined by Jake. Just say hi, Jake.
Hi, everyone.
Cool beans. So, yes, I think it's going to be a really interesting show. We may be, Anais may be joining us very soon. We're going to keep an eye out for her and hopefully we'll be great company on the topic. But in the meantime, let's kick it off. What was the inspiration behind having this particular conversation?
So if I'm being honest, it's a completely selfish inspiration. Me personally, so I have a blog that I call Angus by Design, and it just sort of follows my experience as somebody who once was a very large gay man. I was a big chubby bear, so to speak. I used to weigh over 500 pounds, and in the last 7 or 8 years, I've lost the weight. And so from a personal, from my own personal journey, I've sort of had to rediscover who I am as a person overall, like the way I sort of fit into society in general. And so I find, given my experience, there's not a lot of resources to really kind of pull from. And so I've been sort of researching other aspects, so sort of diving into other people's experience. So I really thought that this would be a great launching pad to sort of start that discussion and see how other people sort of deal with their body image issues. They tend to, like... When people think of body image, the sort of go-to, like if I say to somebody, you know, I really kind of have some issues around my body, the go-to response is, oh, well, we all do, you know, like we all have those areas that are a problem. But
it doesn't interfere with everyone's life, though. That's the difference.
Exactly. And it's not as general because people have body image issues for very different reasons. And like when you look at even trying to relate on social media and trying to relate through like Grindr and Scruff and these types of apps, you know, it's a very different experience for people. So, yeah. So the sort of basis was the idea of just sort of getting the, hopefully doing more listening than speaking, but just getting an idea of what other people go through and then trying to relate that to my own experience.
What I thought was interesting as we were talking about before the show was that you were saying that you had spent most of your adult life becoming acquainted with and adapting and understanding your identity as a larger man. Just as a word to our listeners, you may, if we pause suddenly and you hear some background noise, they are doing some maintenance on the building. That just took me by surprise.
They're drilling through concrete, so yeah.
Yeah, so these things happen. Yes, but you were saying how, you know, you create an identity. And I suppose if we talk about a drastic change at the top of the hour and then kind of talk about more subtle changes, because I think you underwent quite a drastic change.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about kind of having an identity and then almost losing it and having to recreate it?
Sure. Well, also what happened, because, you know, the
backstory.
Yeah, exactly.
what is he talking about?
The context.
I get that question a lot.
Yeah.
I, at 32, I think I was, or 33 years old, it was just about 8 years ago, I underwent a gastric bypass surgery. So I weighed 517 pounds. I had, you know, severe sleep apnea, had, you know, joint problems, things like that. And so I researched it and underwent that surgery. But, you know, when you think about sort of how you grow up and you reach puberty and you sort of come into your own and you sort of, you like, your personality and how you relate to the world, like, you sort of have a whole life to adjust to that, like your surroundings, the people in your life. And at 32 and 33, I had to relearn all of that. So in some ways it's been like, you know, essentially being it's like Encino Man, you know, I've been frozen in ice for so long and now I'm kind of learning how to fit into society. And some of the little things have been like, you know, I can't make fat jokes anymore. So if I, you know, as a large man, I could make a fat joke and then it'd be like immediately received with humor and you know, hitting on people's boyfriends or girlfriends and things like that. Like, you're never really sort of seen as a threat because you're not sort of seen as a sexual being per se.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, just sort of learning those like smaller intricacies, but then on the bigger scale, it's, and when you're large, sorry, I'll just step back another second, but when you're large, you kind of, your body is its own entity. Like, it's not necessarily seen as something that's overly male or overly female. When you're smaller, there's more opportunity to sort of stylize what you're going for. Like, you can sort of choose more clothing and have more options and along those lines. And so then there is more of a pressure to sort of decide what your image is going to be about. So that's kind of that's what I was talking about, was it, you know, as of the last 8 years, I've had to relearn what my place is and what that looks like. So, yeah.
Did you develop your beard over the last 8 years? Is that
Well, no, I've had the beard since I was 15. I've had the beard.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's very trendy now. I have a large beard now. That's sort of within the last couple of years. But
see, that's what I thought. Now that it's in style, because you have a very, very manicured beard. I mean, this is of no help to our listeners who clearly cannot see a beard over the air. Yes, wrong platform.
I have Instagram. So if you look up Angus by Design on Instagram, you'll
problem
see
solved.
Dogs and beards. So
that's
it's pretty much
just like beards, like just hanging there, not attached to people. Like,
no, it's all my beard.
Beards.
It's like, here's my beard from this angle, and here's my beard from that angle, and here's a picture of my dog just to, you know, yeah, that's very
mix
Instagram.
It up a little bit.
Yeah, I don't. I tend to eat bad food, so I don't take pictures of my food, but.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
We're going to jump to the first song. This Drake Jensen was actually going to be joining us, but unfortunately was unable to make it in. Drake Jensen is one of Canada's...
he was the first out gay country artist.
In Canada?
In Canada, yeah.
What about that guy from the 70s?
I think he may be an American.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because we had a whole thing with with what's his face, the guy who does All American Boy.
Yeah, and everyone's like, "Oh, he's the first one ever." It's like, "Well,
Steve
okay,
something around."
Yeah, Steve Grand.
Oh,
Steve
yeah.
Grand. Yeah.
And then everyone's like, "What about
first
Katie Lang?"
Like, "Whoa,
yeah,
whoa.
Yeah."
Okay, we didn't invent gay culture in this 2016. Like, let's roll it back a smidge, you people. Anyway, this is Drake Jensen's Scars. Do you know anything about the song?
So Drake's an amazing artist, for one. I met him before he started his country career, and he's very much, I was hoping to have him in because he's very much somebody who dealt with a lot of bullying in his life, and who really had sort of been given the message that, you know, being gay, he's like not masculine, and there's certain things he couldn't do, and he was sort of destined to be a hairdresser his whole life, kind of thing. And he's really kind of broken free from that, and and so pursuing his country music, first of all, was part of him addressing that, and then most recently too, as he's joined, he got involved with the Reserves. So he's, you know, when you're talking about masculinity and sort of that sense of, or that requirement for that, he's been sort of pushing his boundaries and really kind of challenging himself on that level. So that's how, yeah, that's where he sort of came to be.
Excellent. And we'll be back in just a few minutes, just after this, on the Velvet Studio, home to Ottawa's queer media. And we're just having a little bit of a issue here. There we go.
Crying softly, hoping nobody will hear. She dries her eyes and tries to stand up tall. She smiles bravely, trying hard to hide her fear. But her smile's fooling nobody at all. She needs someone to catch her when she falls. Slowly, with an unkind word or two, it was sad to see how ugly it had grown. She just accepted it, and there was nothing she could do. She was living with her pain all alone, and she prayed to the Lord to take her home. Sticks and stones will break her bones, but broken bones will heal. And deep within, beneath the skin, there's a pain that she conceals. And all the shame and anger she keeps under lock and key. Saves when they abuse, leave scars that you can't see. He looked up slowly at the clock upon the wall. Sees it's only minutes now till 3. Knows that they'll be waiting for him by the study hall, and he'll end up begging down upon his knees. And he's praying, won't someone help him please? He was smaller than the others, that made him an easy mark. Names that called him cut to the bone. Couldn't see the end, they had torn his world apart. He was living with his deep within, beneath his skin, there's a pain that he conceals. And all the shame and anger he keeps under lock and key. But the words they use when they abuse, leave scars that you can't see. The words they use when they abuse, leave scars that you can't see.
You are listening to CKCU 93.1 FM in Ottawa.
Hello and welcome back to the Feld. What on earth are you doing?
Everything's fine. You keep turning this microphone on, so I'm pointing it away from me.
Okay, well, I wasn't sure what... Yeah, okay, I fixed
that.
Yeah.
All right.
But yeah, no, it was bizarre. That was... Yes, you've thrown me completely off course now, Sebastian.
I'm sorry.
Stars, if you have a chance to check out Drake Jensen's music on YouTube, you could see the video for Scars, and you'll see it's actually quite a powerful message. Mm-hmm. A lot of his music does sort of focus around bullying and sort of where people fit in, and this particular song gives a lot of stats about sort of suicide and things along those lines. But yeah, no, if you get a chance to check out his music, he has some amazing stuff, and all of his videos, actually I didn't watch this one closely enough, but usually his videos, also his partner makes a cameo in most of those. So, and he's done some stuff, like he has a video with he did a cover of Stand By Your Man with Will and Belli from
nice.
RuPaul's Drag Race and stuff. So there's some fun stuff there too. It's not all dark.
Why did we not find that one for today's show? Now, you spoke at the top of the hour about about your own experiences,
mm-hmm.
and I think body confidence is an interesting topic. I happen to have. Thankfully, a very supportive partner, and I'm like, I want to lose some weight because I'm not happy with how I look right now, and I think me and Sebastian have a mutual friend who teased me for being bougie, as in like very bourgeois and like pretentious hipster middle class.
Oh yes,
I think I prefer the paleo diet just because it cuts out refined sugars. As the gist of it,
mm-hmm.
and I eat a lot of salt. Oh my gosh, I've been tracking what I eat, and you won't believe how much salt is in things.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll die of heart attack by the age of 35. I swear it. But it's, but yes. So I mean, I think Phil had an interesting point. I've now named him. in that, to look at me, you may not think, oh, you know, he needs to lose weight, but I think that boils down to, knowing what to wear that's the most flattering, almost.
Well, also, he views the world through certain eyes as well. And there's that nice category that really the person who captured it best was Peter Griffin on Family Guy, where somebody said, you know, I can't remember the context, but he was describing his own body as straight, normal, gay, fat.
So true.
And there is that category where, like, in the broader world, somebody would look at you and be like, you look like an adult human over the age of 25 who no longer has a teenager's metabolism. You look totally fine. But in the gay world, if you have anything more than like 8% body fat, then you are fat. Mm-hmm. There's no middle ground on this. It's just, you know, you're now in the box that is nope.
Yeah.
And it's...
And the scary part about gay world and fat, it's funny, like, because we talk about the bear community, right? So one of the things that I found interesting...
Just to explain to our listeners what a bear is, we're not referring to polar or grizzly, we're referring to...
No, I meant little grizzly bears, actually. No,
no, no. No.
Sorry. So the
further clarify.
The bear community being sort of the community of hairy, sometimes larger... sort of, it's like a fringe community group.
Mm-hmm. It's a nickname,
yeah,
mm-hmm. for a subsect of gay men.
Mm.
Yeah, So in terms of that, like, there, you know, as a large gay man and as a large hairy gay man, you know, I almost had a following of people who absolutely loved it. So, you know, you kind of, there's this fine line between fat and fetish, right? Mm-hmm. Like, there's this, you know, you kind of, people might perceive you as just being fat, and then at one point a light bulb goes off and then you suddenly have like a group of people who are pursuing you because
I
of
think
that
the nickname so is chubby chaser. Chubby
chasers. But yeah, there's always that middle ground, because I've had people in the bear community tell me that I'm far too thin.
Mm-hmm.
That I don't really fit in. They're not really into me. They don't really see me in that way.
Yeah.
And so I'm in that nice little gray middle area where nothing can happen. And to sort of give people context, even people who know me, they may not spot this. So it took a lot of my friends quite some time. I actually had to point them out. I am three things that don't normally get brought up. So I'm bottom heavy, I'm skinny fat, and I'm barrel chested. Which going together makes weird. So bottom heavy as in like massive legs and then noodly arms, and then skinny fat in the sense that like I've got body fat, but it's all in the center. Like I have fat parts, but like I have skinny arms and skinny legs. I have the arms and legs of a skinny person, yeah, although my legs are huge and my arms are noodly. And then barrel chested, like a lot of people can't tell, but like my ribs are absolutely massive. Like I have troubles buying shirts sometimes. I have to get the extra large because I have the rib cage that you would expect to see on like a lumberjack. I've got like a lumberjack body. But first of all, what that means is there's no checkbox for me when I'm on social media. Like I have to go with average. It's the only thing I can say.
Lumbersexual is where you would fit.
Well, except
you just need a pickaxe and some plaid.
I don't do the plaid and the flannel and the beard and the.
We'll need to get you a man bun as well.
Yeah, no, it's not
or
gonna happen.
If you just listed bottom heavy, I think if just those two words would be. That's good enough on an online profile.
But it's this weird. I mean, now you're getting things about like body image and masculinity going on. Yeah, I'm going to keep on rolling.
Yeah, that's
never
probably
happened.
Best.
You're only muscular if you have a muscular torso.
Yeah.
You know, if you have like a lot
or
of
the arms. Like sometimes you'll see guys who have zero body, but then have arms that like they could create an Instagram account around, or like,
yeah,
or their legs are highly developed, but then you know what I mean, like, yeah,
but like, yeah, the like runners and skaters quite often have skinny upper bodies and incredibly well developed legs, but they have to call themselves skinny because their torso isn't developed, and it's this sort of weird situation to be in. But like when you don't have any box to check, and it's a very checkbox heavy community to a certain sense where and it absolutely astounds me how picky people can be sometimes, and we are a tiny fraction of the community. So I mean, it depends on what study you read. We're anywhere from 0.5 to 5% of the population if you're talking about gay and bisexual men,
right?
People who identify as gay and bisexual, not just men who are willing to fool around with other guys, but guys.
That's closer to 1 in 10.
Yeah, well, even that's controversial. But anyway, it's about 0.5% to 5%. Usually they fall around 2.5%. So that's not a very large portion. That population includes people who are currently infants and elderly. So, I mean, now you're cutting down the population again. How many of them are taken? How many of them are not interested in you in specific? So the number of people available in a community at any given time, you're looking at anywhere from like a couple hundred to a couple thousand single gay men in Ottawa, which has like 1.3 million people on both sides of the river and then in the entire valley.
So let me ask, in your experience then, when you when you are filling out these profiles, or you have a profile and you're in dialogue with somebody, do you get anxiety about your problem area, so to speak? Like, do you feel like
absolutely
a pressure that
well on know, top of that I'm round faced, and I don't mean like I have a fat face. I mean like the features of my face are round and soft, which I kind of like. I like guys with a boyish look, but when you're round faced and pale, the camera doesn't add 15 pounds, it adds like 30.
Mm-hmm.
It is very difficult to take a picture of me where I don't look much bigger than I am.
Yeah.
And I have seen photos of me that I think are very flattering, and it's just what I see in the mirror and what I see in photos are not the same. And it's, any photographer can tell you, it's really just like the lighting is bad or the angle is bad or something like that. But it is hard to take pictures of pale people. That's part of the reason why tans are really popular among models, because it shows up better. Yeah. But it's difficult for me to post pictures that I don't think are hideous. Mm-hmm. And so they're few and far between. They're not... Like, most of my pictures are about a year out of date, which a year is not such a big deal, really. But, I mean, that's on a good day. I would never post something that I don't think looks like me, but, I mean, it's...
So would that be... So the fact that your photos are a year out of date, are you saying, like, that would be a reflection of your... Of how you feel about... Like, you're just not getting a good photo that you feel confident in posting in that period of time?
Or? I mean, yeah. Absolutely. Also, I avoid having my picture taken. Mm-hmm. That's another thing.
And I find that as well. Like, it's funny because if I'm doing a selfie at arm's length and I have like full, I can choose my filter and I can do all these things, it's great. Like, you'll see, I post my, like, I'm always posting my photo. Mm. And for me, it may be perceived as ego. For me, it's the opposite because in my, where I am currently, I'm sort of left with this body that I don't necessarily identify with. So for me, posting a new photo frequently is more like challenging my instinct to like mm-hmm. completely retract and then, you know, and not post at all. And do you know what I mean? So it's like kind of challenging myself. But
something that I find very helpful, and this is going to sound really weird, but follow me on this, watching movies from the 40s and 50s. Because beauty standards have changed over time, right?
Yeah.
And if you look at the love interests in movies from the 40s and 50s, they tend to be, I don't know how to say this, like they're bigger guys, not big like fat, but they're just like they're developed guys who have that sort of a kind of a rugby body where it's a little bit of muscle, a little bit of body fat. They look like normal adults.
No Sean Connery.
They're handsome faced.
I'm thinking Marlon Brando. But
yeah, exactly. Yeah, like. These were not skinny, muscular guys, but they were very attractive. And I'm kind of built like a 1940s heartthrob. But, you know, we're not in the 40s.
But your time's coming because, like, we just did the 70s kind of made a comeback. So maybe we should just push for the 40s and then you'll be like...
In trend.
Yeah. Ready to go.
Yeah.
Just wait it out. Wait it out.
Your time is coming.
And then you'll be the piece de resistance.
Mm-hmm.
Did you call it the pièce de résistance?
I don't know. I butchered it. Let's move on. So what about you, Jake? You're a bit quiet there in the other seat. What's your take on body confidence?
Well, it's a hard thing to say because I personally never dealt with it that much, I guess, because like I grew up in Asia and I have always been this 110, 100-pound kind of guy. And in Asia, that's most people. The other thing that I was worried about or feeling insecure about is my height, because I'm shorter than most people. I'm like 5'5". And like now that I've got here in a world full of white people and multiculturalism, it's like, you know, it's like I'm probably the smallest guy in class, like always. So it's like I kind of accepted it in a way. And like over the years, you know, dating and everything, it's kind of like make me come to terms with who I am, because there are people who are attracted to the skinny Asian types, and then there are people who are not. So, like, I cannot really know if they are rejecting me because of my race or my appearance or both. You know, it kind of, like, go hand in hand. So I was like, okay, I'm skinny, and I can't gain weight, so why worry about it? And, you know, sometimes it's better to fit yourself in the box. Not that, you know, you should, but, like, if I fit in the box, and I'm like, I fit in the box.
Yeah.
Just embrace it, yeah.
Well, a lot of people say, you know, you should never do that. You should never put yourself into something. But the thing is, when you do or when you can, people know where to start. Mm-hmm. Like, if you are a textbook case of a, you know, muscular, late 30s, you know, you look like, I don't know, like a baseball player, I'll say. Because baseball players are... they're fit, but they're not like ridiculous quite often. But anyway, mm-hmm. so you have that shape. People know where to start. People know you probably go to the gym. They know you probably go to the gym this many hours a week. They know what kind of personality you probably have, how you probably treat your own body. Like the thing about how about fitting into the checkbox is people know where to start. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you're sort of different, then they actually have to expend effort, and that's too difficult for.
I'm sure that this is a whole sort of show onto its own, but you know, in the sort of culture that we have of like the you know, the dating apps and the gay websites and the things like this and those check boxes, there's a real sort of sense of you know, like ordering off a menu. Mm-hmm. Like you see people's profiles and they're like, you know, no fats, no femmes, no Asians, no this, no that. And it's like, and then you're looking at them and you're thinking like, well, what are you looking for? Like yeah. you're 55, you know, like what's going on in your world?
Going at it from the wrong direction.
Yeah. And so you think like, you know, here's this wish list of what you're supposed to be.
Yeah.
And versus what you have to offer, and that's the piece. Like with me, I feel like, you know, someone, they'll see my profile and they'll respond to what they perceive me to be, which mm-hmm. is like an average sized, you know, big bearded hairy guy who's approaching 40 too fast, and you know, like, and they're sorry very responsive to that. But then internally I know that underneath all of the sort of clothes and the hair, it's like I'm left with this, like, I feel like it's a misrepresentation of what I'm able to sort of present mm. as a clothed person, you know mm. what I mean? So it's, I wonder if that's sort of a universal thought as well, is that you're kind of, you project a certain image in what you're comfortable projecting in those areas. But when it comes time to actually, like, expose yourself.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk about that in more detail just after this. This is our second Drake Jensen song. And we'll be back talking about, you know, really having the confidence when you're not clothed just after this.
Mm-hmm.
Just a farm boy running wild on my way to finding you. Down the hallways of my learning with my school friends. On the playing fields where we all fought so hard. Man, after graduation, in the real world and the bars, past the faces I was searching to fill the hunger in my heart. And on to the bottom of every dead end road that I came.
Hello and welcome back to the Velvet Studio, home to Ottawa's queer media. And we have been discussing... Are you starfishing over there? What are you doing?
Do you know what we were talking about during the break?
Were you talking about the coccyx?
No. What do I love talking about?
Trains.
I was going to say that or cat's nipples. It's really usually one or the other.
Yeah. Cat's nipples are hilarious because they have eight of them. But yeah, I talk about trains a lot. I admit it's true. But what were we talking about? We were talking about dating.
Yes. No, we were talking about body confidence. Profile. And now we've settled on, we were talking about how we've kind of gone over each our own body confidence issues as examples of the myriad of other concerns. And what we kind of landed on before the song break was, you know, let's lay the scene. It is in the evening. The sun has gone down. The aromatic candles are lit.
Summer or winter?
Late summer. So we're talking like midnight by the time it's dark. But, you know, the candles are lit. You're in the boudoir. There's incense wafting. And your individual walks into the room. How do you then navigate being confident in your body when you have no clothes on?
I don't have an answer for that because, well, I mean, my initial reaction would be to blow out those candles.
I know it. Health hazard, people.
And also to put out the incense because I have allergies.
Yeah. So this scene has gone very unsexy already.
Yeah. The two of us would be sitting there with the Dristan sniffing up the nose and the tissues. And
I mean, I appreciate the effort you've put into setting this scene, but it's a disaster to begin with.
Yeah.
But
I would put on some post-rock, maybe.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Clearly, we're going for different vibes.
Big fan of, you know, put on some Explosions of the Sky, some Sigur Rós. That's good makeup music. Yeah.
Well, what about you, Jake? Was that at least on the same right page for you? Or?
Well, first of all,
he hates your scented candles.
If you do that,
and don't call it a boudoir for heaven's sake, we're trying to have sex.
Okay, let's just get one thing straight. If you do the incense and candle thing, you're not getting laid. I'm just saying that right now.
Okay. Well. Good to know. Good notes.
I'll just have to invest in a lamp.
But to answer your question.
Oh, a mood lamp.
I have this thing that I've discovered about myself where I have no problems doing that. It's getting to that point. I am always skeptical that someone's attracted to me. And it takes forever to get me to take my clothes off because I'm always like, you know, why are they doing this? I don't think they're actually into me. But if someone can finally convince me that they are attracted to me and they are willing to do it, my clothes, they sort of come off of me like they've evaporated. They're like, boom, like gone.
They seep into the ether.
Yeah,
almost.
No problems. But
so it's like a game of Trouble. The timer hits and then, boop, all of the pieces are
There's a man in Japan who holds the world record for disrobing the fastest. And he can take all his clothes off in 0.95 seconds.
Wow.
It's amazing. And I feel like that sometimes where it's just like shwoom and like all the clothes fly in the air and I'm naked and I'm totally fine. But it takes me forever to get to that point because like there have been times in the past where people have been able to convince me that they are attracted to me and they are willing to do that. And so because I do have one or two instances of this having happened where it's not like you'll do. Or it's not like, well, I like you, so I'm willing to do this. But people who are genuinely like, I like what I'm seeing, I know that it's possible. And not everyone has had that experience, unfortunately. I've even met like skinny, attractive people who are like, they've never been convinced by someone that they're actually genuinely into them. And that sort of goes back into that internet culture thing. And when you said, like, Angus, when you said menu, I always think of it more like Amazon. Like, somebody goes online to order in the sex for the night, and then they come, and then they come, and then they come, and then they leave, and then that's how it is. And it's, like, this is one of the reasons why hookup culture, I think, really doesn't work, because you show up, and then you have desires, and you're like, I did not order someone off of Amazon who actually has a personality and desires of their own. Like, I ordered you in because I wanted a thing. I don't care. What do you mean you want a thing?
You have needs?
You what? That's not what I asked for, but because of this, a lot of people, like, their wants and needs are never really put on the table, and so they're never really addressed. So you do have very attractive people who have body confidence issues because no one's taken the time to say to them, like, you are, authentically, I am into you, And it's not just because of your body, but it's a full package thing.
Yeah.
It's also a full package thing. Wink, wink.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I mean, it because it, I have had that experience, and I know that it is possible. As much as that there is that very frustratingly long, and I know that I could probably be very frustrating in terms of convincing me that you are genuinely into me. But once mm-hmm. that happens, like, close the door, my pants are off. It's just like, oh, how did that happen? Like, yeah,
on.
It's like,
yeah.
You know, the moment the door opens, like, they teleport back on my body. And it's just this weird, like, magic spell. But
yeah.
it does take a while to get to that point. But, like, the moment I'm there, like, it's, I got no problems.
And for me, like, I'm on a journey. So I know that, like, I'm going to have some sort of reconstructive surgeries that are going to take care of a lot of my larger problem areas and things like this. But so right now my technique is really like I think of myself like the special forces, you know, like I just swoop in, have some quick sex, you know, high five, and then out I go, you know.
Wow.
So it's kind of
wow.
like pay no attention to the guy behind the curtain, you know. So
have you actually done a high five during sex?
I you know, yeah.
Me too.
It's not a bad thing.
Have we?
We haven't, but I'd have.
Oh,
there is, it is kind of fun going like, dude, I'm totally inside you right now. High five.
You just have these moments where
this is a lunchtime show.
Yeah.
People have sex during lunch too. Like,
yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Moving swiftly on. I want to touch on something that you said, Sebastian, about being convinced. And I think that really is, And being convinced that someone's authentically into you.
Mm-hmm.
It took Jake a very long time to convince me. Like, that's for sure. There was definitely an air of disbelief for at least a year, I think. And yet, me and you are very different.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think it's definitely...
Was it finally just understanding that through his eyes, you are a disembodied head with a beard? Like,
yes. It's the beard and the accent. That's it.
Everything from the neck down just doesn't even matter so long as you have that beard.
Yeah, no, that sounds about right. Like, the whole time I was staring at Angus' beard. Like,
that's so I might have a shot then? Is what... So, Jake, like, how long were you here before you met up with this guy? Like, how long had you sort of been on the scene in terms of connecting with people? And
in terms of being on the scene? No, the thing is, I live in Vietnam, and back then I was already kind of on the scene, but not really.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been on this gay scene for about 6 years. And in Canada, and the gay scene, about two years in that, too. But, like... Until I met Luke, I wasn't actually in the community because I'm a very introverted person. And I did join the community, but then I felt really I didn't belong.
Yeah.
Or at least just not in the way that they expected me to. So I was like, okay, I don't belong. So why, you know, I'm a member, but I'm not belong. So why should I be here? But yeah.
And are those messages that you sort of, like that sense of not belonging, is that something that comes from your experiences, like just interacting with people?
It's kind of both. Interacting with people is one thing because, like, everybody starts out by hooking up with some guy in the mm-hmm. community, right?
And do they, though?
Not all of them, but
yeah.
most of them.
Yeah, a lot.
Many. We'll say many.
Like 90%?
Mm-hmm. I don't know about that.
Okay, my bad. Well, back to the point, is that until you actually... interact with a lot of gay men, you don't actually know what type of gay man or what kind of community you fit in, because personally when I knew I was gay, I just was just gay. Like, I didn't belong to a group, a subgroup, ethnic group or anything like that, so I didn't know how to classify myself. But then I went to the gay community, it's like, oh, you're a twink.
Yeah.
You're an Asian twink. And then, you know, further classifying me just make me feel really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh, I'm out of here.
Well, that's the funny thing with me is that, like, people that I was invisible as a large man, so, like, they're, like, these profiles and these people that contact me, I've been around since, like, I've lived in Ottawa for 20 years, so I've had profiles for nearly that long, like, And so there are people that when I was large, they didn't give me the time of day. And then suddenly it's like they're coming out of the woodwork and like, hey, what's up? And even now, like, I'll get people that literally the only thing they'll talk to me about on these profiles is my beard. And it's like, and so you can tell from a mile away that, like, literally it's like, all right, I understand you're having some private time with yourself and you just want to talk about my beard, but it gets really exhausting because you're like, you know, there is a person behind the beard, and you think, like, if you were to shave it, like, would those people disappear again? So it's kind of interesting to sort of...
This is a conflict that I often have. And a couple of years ago, I shared an office with a woman who, she was also a little bit larger, and she and I would have these conversations all the time. And she was lucky enough to be married, but when I told her, like, this thing I'm about to say, she's like, I absolutely know what you're talking about. And that is... I am always petrified that, like, if I woke up tomorrow and magically had a swimmer's body and all of a sudden everyone was paying attention to me, would I be able to date people, or would I, in the back of my mind, just be thinking, like, you're only dating me because of this? And if you had met me a year ago, you wouldn't think twice about me. So could you possibly actually be attracted to me? And so I always have this sort of, I'm always on the fence about, like, how much effort should I put into changing my body? Because if I do change my body to the point where people would start being attracted to me or be willing to express that they're attracted to me, because I'm like catnip for bisexual women, for some reason bisexual women think I'm the bomb. I know that I'm attractive because bisexual women tell me all the time that they think I'm fantastic. Mm-hmm. So I know that that people are capable of telling me that I'm attractive, but I'm not attractive enough for gay men to tell me that I'm attracted
to. At least the ones that you've met so far.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, I haven't crossed the threshold where I'm hot enough for them to be like, I have to tell you that you're hot. Because there is that point where someone's like, you're just... Ugh. But anyway, so if I did suddenly become attractive, like, and then somebody tried to date me, would I just sit there and stare at them in doubt the whole time? Like, if something happened to my health and I gained all that weight back, would you just leave me? And so it's the only answer is to sort of ride the middle line. And our friend Alex from Toronto, who's now in Manchester, he and I had this conversation several times, and he used to call it punk rock body fat because it was sort of like that sort of screw you attitude towards the world. Like, I got this. This is mine. Like, yeah. And then this is my body fat. If you don't like it, I'm going to punch you in the face. And it gets you to a point.
It's very punk rock.
It's very punk rock, but it also...
So I should say first, like, this is radio, but you're not Quasimodo over there. Do you know what I mean? Like, you actually said, if I woke up one day and I was attractive, like, you're not, you know, you're not going to make babies cry or, like, or trains stop in their place. Like, you know what I mean? And I think that's a big piece, is that literally, and there comes a point, like, for me... I have a boyfriend, and there are times when I think, like, when he's wanting to get intimate, and in my mind I'm thinking, like, how can you, like, want to do that? Like, it's, you know, like, I just don't see it, and I think he's crazy. But then there's a point where you realize, like, I could literally have, like, the ideal body that I think, like, that's my ideal and what I find is absolutely beautiful. And then, as what you'd said, is that you'd have this body and then you'd think, like, are you only into me for this body? And so, you know, it is a two-way street for sure, like, in terms of how people react to us and everything, but it's also what we bring to the table in terms of our own self-esteem and our own sort of sexy vibe, you know what
I
mean?
But on the other hand, it's also a matter of, like, would you even notice me if I didn't have that? Because there's always that initial attraction, you know, and the initial attraction goes away after a while. I mean, this is one of the things that I study, that, like, the first maybe 30 hours of knowing someone and then afterwards are completely and totally different. Mm-hmm. 30 hours cumulative, so, like, you know, you'd see each other for, like, 2 hours at a time through mutual friends or something like that. So, but, and it's always starts off superficial, whether we like it or not. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, like, that is, I mean, that's all we have to go on sometimes. And even if you do meet somebody who you could have an amazing relationship with, could they get over that thing where you don't hit their check boxes. And it's always, I mean, it's the opposite side of the what if I woke up amazing. It would be what if I met someone amazing and they couldn't see me. You know?
I don't know what you've, like, I had this similar situation before. Not like I wake up like suddenly feeling attractive or anything, but I know this guy who I was really into, and this guy is like a really famous event organizer for a gay community. So I was like, oh, he's way out of my league. He's super, like, you know, attractive or anything. But that was years ago. One summer, I came back, and suddenly this guy just texted me. And we met a couple of times before. He never talked to me before until I came back, you know, suddenly texted me. I was like, okay. And then he like, kept on, like, being very clingy. It's just, I felt really weird because at first I thought he was attractive, and I guess he didn't think I was attractive enough for his league. And then, you know, years later I came back, I was like, what changed? Well, you know, definitely I changed, but, like, it's still me. I still know who you are. I remember you weren't attractive to me, so why are you now?
Yeah.
And that is definitely a thing where sometimes it's not an issue of finding yourself attractive or not, because I think I'm okay. I'm pretty okay with my looks. But the thing is, I don't feel like I'm enough of the right kind of attractive for the gay community. So even though I know that I'm attractive, at least academically, because bisexual women tell me nonstop, am I enough of the right kind of attractive to date ever?
I think that the issue there is that there is an incredible amount of body fascism in the gay community. Mm-hmm. And that is something that I really hope, if anything, we have highlighted in today's show, is that all four of us, and we're four very different body types, have highlighted, you know, feeling that body fascism, feeling that with the gay male gaze, I think is what it's referred to, where, you know, we have to be that perfect body type that you're referring to. And if you fall out of that, then God help you.
Even if you are attractive, just in a completely different way.
Mm-hmm. I almost look at it as a giant game of horseshoes. So you think, like, you have the pin, right? And the pin is that sort of universal ideal of what is beautiful and gorgeous and sexy and all of these things. And then you basically have all of us. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, for sure. And then you have all of us sort of throwing our horseshoes at that peg, trying to get as close to that peg as possible. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we overshoot it, sometimes we get close, but ultimately everybody's trying for that ultimate thing, and in doing so we kind of miss out on the fun of the game, you know what I mean?
The toxicity of it is that whilst we're all aiming for this ideal, we're incredibly judgmental of everyone else who's also aiming and missing. So I think that's where, you know, we just need to be a bit more nicer to each other, and, you know, saying to someone that, you know, you said earlier that if there's someone like God, who's that Olympic swimmer?
Tom Daly.
Okay. If Tom Daly walked
in, he's a diver.
I would be like, oh my gosh, Tom, you are just wow. But I mean, I think saying that someone is beautiful to more people is important. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, I live by that. And I think that's important, that we should share the love a little bit more freely than perhaps we do already.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Anyway, I think that's about all we've got time for. Do you have any closing remarks?
No, it was a great chat. I appreciate it very much.
And if you have been triggered by anything that we've said today and you do live in the city of Ottawa, don't forget that you can call the Ottawa Distress Centre. The number is readily available online. And there's a number of other places that you can call if you need somebody to talk to. Anyways, we're going to play out with another Canadian artist because we can. And this is Biff Naked, which is pretty cool. Biff Naked's song, You're So Cool. And we'll be back next week on the Velvet Studio. Bye-bye. I was a little shy, but finally I swallowed my pride.